Welcome to In Moderation,
the show where we give you a moderate dose of info, sarcasm, and we already know we're not approved.
Well, nah, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I think about some of the people that are afraid of, what's a good example? That recent video that you made, Rob, where you're like this woman who like poured some water through her shredded cheese, and she was like, look at all this grossness coming out of the cheese. And I'm like, at least I worry about things that are actually valid to worry about. Like that, I just feel bad for people like that sometimes, you know what I mean?
You know, and that lady that does it, she also does like a bunch of recipe videos, and people tag me in those. I'm like, I'm not going to do those videos just because of all the other shit she does. But like, why doesn't she just stick to that? Like, she does pretty well with those recipe videos, and then she goes off and just like loses her mind about the tiniest thing.
Oh, so she's got like a whole thing of that. I thought I was under the impression just like a one off, like random.
No, she's really big on Instagram.
Yeah, she has. And you listen, if you ever want to lose brain cells, go into the comment section of her videos. It's all weak. I can't believe the FDA should be sued. The government shouldn't be allowed to do this. Like, it's full. They have drank all the Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid is gone. There's no more to drink.
Are people this averse to like
science?
I guess, yeah. Like, are people this intellectual in Canada as well? Like, is it really like a broader Western thing? I always felt like it was just like a very American thing to be super anti-intellectual and at the same time try to be super intellectual about your anti-intellectualism. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be like, nah, I'm not going to look at the facts.
It's unfortunately very prevalent in Alberta. Mostly because Alberta is like wannabe Texas.
That makes sense. And there's a lot of it in like England as well. Like I think America's, we do everything big, but like, I think it is every other places as well, just because we're larger and we're more loud about it is kind of what you see. But I think it kind of just comes with the more you have, the more you forget about the past, the things that people dealt with previously. Like, you look at vaccines and stuff like that, people don't remember measles, mumps, rubella, like they don't remember any of that stuff. So it's just polio. No one really remembers, and the people that do remember polio are like, fuck polio. But like, people today are like, I don't want to give my kid polio vaccine. That's not a thing anymore, so why should I have to do that? And I think it's like, just because they're so far removed.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, you, because what you don't understand is that like, your kid, polio is not a thing anymore because we've been giving kids this vaccine. So we kind of need to keep doing that, you know, like
that part.
Yeah. I'm really happy that there's the guy on TikTok. He's like one of the last people with polio in an iron lung. And he's putting his stuff out there on TikTok. And it's great because then people are actually seeing it. But yeah, he's one of the last people left.
But it's always been a thing. Like, there was a Russian scientist, I forget his name, it's escaped me now, but basically he had this idea that like, you had to alter seeds by altering their environment. So if you like froze seeds first and then thawed them out, then they would grow in ice environments. Obviously, this is a real thing.
Is this that he was like a Russian scientist that was like straight scamming? Like, he knew that he was bullshitting. Like,
did he know he was bullshitting? I don't know enough.
I'm sorry.
His name. I'll remember like halfway through the podcast. But like, but the funny thing was at the time, like, it was Stalin. Stalin was in power, and he loved the idea because it was like a communist thing. Like, you change the environment, you change the person, you change the environment, you change the seeds. So they would plant them in ice areas. They would use dynamite to bury seeds deeper because you had to bury them as deep as possible. And also, seeds, you could plant as many as you want because certain seeds would just die off because they know they can't survive with other seeds around. So they would sacrifice themselves. All complete nonsense. Like, all of this is nonsense. But people bought into it so much so that Russia ended up losing a lot of crops and had to pretend like they were doing really well. So they kept exporting food and people were dying in droves because they're like, they couldn't say like, hey, this didn't work out. Right. So they had to pretend like it worked. So then, you know what happened? Right. this was the time of Mao Zedong in China. And so China saw like, wow, look at Russia exporting all this food. Clearly they have so much. This is working. So they got the same scientists to teach them. And they planted so many seeds in like the northernest parts of China where it's completely frozen. Obviously didn't work. And again, led to just massive starvation. And still to this day, there's people in like the United States that believe in this guy and still try and at least do some of the things that he said. And if that doesn't teach you that, like, no, people won't learn and we're all idiots, then I really don't know what will. So it's, fuck, I can't remember his name. It's just, I gotta have to look it up later.
Yeah, I mean, like,
his whole podcast, I'll send it to you. You gotta listen to it. It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
I feel like I'm familiar with at least some aspects of this story, because I do feel like at some point and I've read or watched some random video or article about a Russian agricultural scientist who like was trying to use this ideology of like, if you just like, you know, if you just subject the seeds to an appropriate environment, they will grow and they'll be able to grow in that environment. That's like the most that I can remember. But like, I don't think I knew about it. This person then getting hired in China.
Yeah, no, they moved to China. I know. Yeah,
that is wild. Oh, it's like, that's just like a con artist, though, right? Like, because at the end of the day, sometimes
some of these people believe fully in their Kool-Aid. Like, they, I don't know.
Oh yeah, you know for sure. You know, the, you know. There's
Trofim Lyshenko. You know. Look up Trofim Lyshenko. That's his name.
But I'll definitely look that one up.
You gotta look up. I'll send you like the link to this podcast. I listened to it. It's a two-parter. I'm not gonna lie, it's long because there is so much absolute crazy shit going on. But
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. I don't mind that at all. I like I watch 2 hour videos on YouTube. FD Signify is one of my favorite creators.
Trofim Lyshenko, yeah.
But like,
and he died in 1976. So this wasn't that like it wasn't that long ago.
It's like it's one of those things where it's like I feel like it really just comes down to access to information, though. Like, you can be convinced of something if a convincing enough person comes along and gives you a convincing case. You know, it's like anybody can get scammed. That's really the whole reason why knowledge is power, as is always said. And I genuinely do.
There's a tattoo. There's only one good, knowledge, and one evil, ignorance, Socrates.
There's a thing where, like, I feel like if enough people have enough access to enough information, you kind of stop running into these issues. But that doesn't happen. Like, that, and unfortunately, that doesn't happen. I don't want to believe we're that screwed.
It's such a balance, though, because in like a communist society, it's perfect because the government kind of controls the way the information is delivered for the most part. But also when you get the flip side in America, where there's so much information, then everyone has access to whatever nonsense they want to come up with. And we know from like research that false information spreads way faster than accurate information. So
If you just have like a straight free flow of just like whatever information in whatever ways is going to go out, then yeah, of course, especially if there are exogenous motives attached to the dissemination of that information. Right. Like, it's difficult to have this conversation without acknowledging that, you know, the dissemination of information has often been tied to means. Right. So like, and who has access to the ability to learn accurate things in a valid framework that gives them the ability to critically think and question things appropriately. You know, it's usually not most people. But the thing is that I genuinely do believe that most people are in fact have a perfectly reasonable intellectual capacity. I do think that the vast majority of people, if we had, obviously this is not, you know, possible, but if we had like an infinite set of resources and an infinite amount of time, you could have most people be reasonable, rational, logical, critical thinkers who are able to assess valid information and consume information responsibly.
Do you think all like misinformation would be like stamped out in that situation? Like, do you think it would spread at all, or would it just be gone?
I think it would kind of do the thing where it would slowly fizzle out and there would be a lot less of it. I don't know that you could ever get rid of people.
Right. That's
of
my like, question. I don't think it would ever go away.
But it becomes like inoculation, kind of like we were talking about with vaccines earlier, right? Yeah. Like it's easier to fool somebody who doesn't know things. So if early childhood education were like a universal thing and like we really trained kids beginning as early as possible to just to critically think, you know what I mean? Like if we really could instill that in humans in some way, because you gotta be taught to do that. I get tricked sometimes. I'm not going to pretend like I'm not gullible sometimes. Right. And you really do have to be trained to do that. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, we're on a great course to,
Right. Do you think in our education system, we're teaching children too much of just kind of the memorization, like here are the facts, as opposed to like we need to teach more of the critical thinking in order for them to discern what is reality from what is myth, I guess?
You're trying to get me in trouble here.
I mean, I don't know the answer to this. Like, how to censor things is I'm fascinated with, because I think we do need some censorship, but how much and where and who does it? Like, I don't know the answer to these questions, and I find them just interesting.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have like a perfect solution to that question. It is a question that needs to be answered because, you know, not all information is needed at all points in time in one's life. And sometimes you don't want people seeing certain things, you know, like trigger warnings for a perfect example, you know, like that's, you know, that's a prime example of like when you want to, you know, but I think that's still kind of, and again, I understand that this is kind of, I think the word I'm looking for here is quixotic. You know, this idea that like, you know, if we were in a perfect world, quote unquote, or even just a world, like I said, where more people had more access to more like, and this, I guess this is kind of what gets to your question, right? Like what is valid and correct information outside of things that can be empirically tested? You know, like where do we draw that line, I suppose, right? Like
There is that, but for the things that are, we have tested and we do understand, how much of that do we then censor from people on the other side questioning it? That's kind of my question. Like vaccines is always a great example. There's always, you know, how much of that do we say, okay, no, we really can't let this spread because people will believe it and that is very dangerous. But also then they're going to say, you're censoring us and we're, you know, like that's government intervention, yada, yada, yada. And I get that. Like, I understand from their point of view, but fuck me. Can it fuck some shit?
I mean, you know, if something, I suppose that there are at least, you know, I guess there's two paths to talking about this, you know, with a concrete example. And then there's the like nebulous information, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, but at least in that specific example, I mean, look, we have laws about spreading harmful medical misinformation, right? Like we have laws against that. And there are material harms that come to people when this type of misinformation gets spread. So I don't know about a perfect framework, but you know, if there's a material harm that comes from the proliferation of an idea, you know, I mean, as somebody who has suffered material harm for the proliferation of certain ideas. I mean, but I hear what you're saying. I absolutely hear what you're saying. Like, where's the line? Like, at what point, who gets to decide?
But and it's like, also, what frustrates me is you have like the I forget his name, but the person who released the study on vaccines and autism. Yes, he was. Yes, he got his license taken away. Yes, he had some things, you know, that happened to him. But he still makes money off his ideas. He still like tries to spread his ideas. He people still pay him for shit. Like, so even if you are completely like the whole system says, nope, we're taking all of your licensing and everything away, you can still take your information anywhere, make money off it, profit. And, you know,
well, and so, and yeah, so this is where I go back to like, in reality, you're right. And that's just kind of like a tragic result of where we exist. In my like perfect ideal world where people have access to enough information and most people think critically, you just can't make money off of that. Right. Like if like, and that's where I'm like, if there is, if I'm not saying it is, we're not there now. And I mean, it really, it just kind of sucks. It makes me sad. And that's a big part of why I decided to, you know, why me and my wife kind of have been doing the Kim Tuck thing, because there need to be more voices of reason out there, I think. But, you know, if you really ask me, like, you know, how I feel deep down, and, you know, when I'm like falling asleep at night and, you know, I wish upon a star for the way I wish the world to be, I just wish more people were better at thinking critically so that they couldn't be preyed upon in this way. Because at the end, it's, you know, I don't blame any given individual for not knowing something. Right. We all learn things at certain points in our lives and we didn't know it beforehand. And that's just how things work.
But being ignorant isn't a crime.
No, being intentionally ignorant, however, yes. I don't know. I personally feel some type of way about people who are like, nah, I don't want to learn. I'm like, but see, why that's not?
Because that's my definition of stupid. It's like you have ignorant, which is like, oh, I just didn't know. Like, I don't know about the mating rituals of pandas. Like, whatever. Like, I'm ignorant about that.
But red, like, pandas, come on.
Red panda, I know. Go back to the red panda, the running gag. But like being stupid is like, here's the information. I go, no, I won't learn that. I'm just going to stick with what I believe instead.
Yeah.
My definition.
Well, we've already done half the podcast and we haven't even introduced the podcast yet.
We just kind of ran into it. Hey, welcome to the podcast in moderation. You're listening to Rob, Liam, and our special guest, Kem Thug. How you doing?
What up, y'all?
Just coming in. Man, okay, listen. So, yeah, let's go back to introducing. So, I am super excited for this episode because of all our guests so far, you know, wait, Rob, do other people that have been a guest on the show, do they listen to the podcast after this?
Definitely not. No. They've
you know, just in case they do, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. Captain Thug, we're super excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here. I appreciate the advice. It's cool.
So, yeah, why don't you give us a little bit of what you do on kind of like TikTok and your social medias and, you know, give us your deal, if you will.
Sure. So I am currently a PhD candidate in a synthetic organic chemistry research program. And in my spare time, I guess, I make videos on TikTok and YouTube and I guess also Instagram and I suppose wherever else I eventually put them about chemistry. Mostly just kind of like debunking things that are patently false or trying to explain things that are mystifying or confusing or like, why did this happen? You know, like, so like one of the first videos we did with where the why you can't mix bleach with vinegar or any acid for that matter, because of the whole reaction that generates chlorine gas, which is, you know, technically something you might figure out after like an O-Chem 1 course, right? Or Gen Chem even, but you know, sometimes you need to be told not to mix bleach with things. So that's what I did.
Sometimes you need to be told not to eat borax.
We'll get into the borax thing in a second. What got you interested, though? I'm curious, what got you interested, though, in doing that? Did you just see a lot of this stuff popping up on your social media or whatever? Like, what made you interested in being like, hey, actually, don't do that?
I'm trying to give a short answer here. I like teaching. I like explaining things. I always have, even since I was a little kid. So I don't consume a whole lot of TikTok. I do consume a fair amount of YouTube. But my wife consumes a lot of TikTok and she would show me things and she would ask me questions and I would be like, oh, well, see, this is what's happening there. And this is what that's about, you know? And then there was one day where she was like, hey, do you want to make a video explaining this thing that you just explained to me? And I was
fun.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. And then it did really like way better than either of us ever could have possibly expected it would do. And then the next one we did like legit went viral, which was the chlorine, the chlorine gas from bleach and vinegar. And so we did a couple more videos. And I think the first four videos were all about like bleach and what not to do with it.
You get pigeonholed into something. And I guess you got pigeonholed into bleach.
For those first few videos, I was like, man, I'm just like here. Like somebody had sent me a question asking me like, they were like, yeah, you know, I cleaned this pan I had with bleach and this other stuff. And here's some pictures of what it looks like now. And it got all, there was all these crazy colors. And, you know, I won't lie. I was like, man, that sounds like a really interesting redox reaction series. And I kind of started trying to look into it a little bit, but I didn't have enough information to like really figure it out. At the end of the day, I was like, I don't really know. I can give a guess,
that's a sign of a person who actually knows his business. They can say like, oh, I don't know, it's probably something to do with this or that, but like at the end of the day, that's something right there.
I feel like one of the main things you learn in any kind of like, or in any higher education, at some point you learn that like, yo, you don't know a lot of things. There's a lot of things you just don't know. And that's fine. That's okay.
It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
I just kind of continued on after that. Like, you know, my wife would suggest videos or I would come up with things that I thought would be interesting and, you know, we would go for it.
Nice. So, yes, as Rob alluded to, the one thing that kind of blew up that, you know, we were all fascinated with, we all did videos. I did a video. It got taken down. TikTok got real mad at me for doing a satire piece on Forex. And I know your video got like taken down for a little bit and then you had to get it reinstituted. It was like a whole thing. But give people a little background on the whole Forex thing, if you could.
Oh man, yeah, I guess I should have seen this coming, right? At some point, my wife had approached me with this one and she was like, yo, people are drinking Borax on TikTok, basically. You know what I mean? Like,
you were like, TLDR. No way. No, like, no, they're not.
Why? And she was like, oh, well, you know, they say it does all these things. And I was like, no, it doesn't. What? So, you know, I was like, all right, well, maybe I'm wrong. You know, like I said, like I was saying before, like, I try to give people benefit of the doubt. I don't know everything. Right. I'm not a medical expert. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe there's some I don't know. So I look into it. And I actually, you know, for a lot of the videos up to that point, I didn't have to do a lot of, like, literature searching to, like, understand. Because a lot of it was stuff that I still kind of just know. And then I would, like, look up stuff in literature after and be like, yep, I was right. But this one, I was like, no, I'm going to go do some digging. And literally everything I found was like, this is toxic. This is poison. Don't drink this. Don't eat this. I found like maybe like two random papers that were like, boron is a necessary micronutrient that's present enough in other things that you really shouldn't supplement it because eating excess boron is a problem. But that's boron, not borax. Borax is like your body doesn't necessarily
give people what borax is. Borax, can you give people boron? Like just like people are probably like, what the fuck is borax? I don't know.
Sorry, no problem. So borax is borax is the laundry additive you've seen in the 20 meal box, and it's this chemical compound that's a salt. It's a salt of boric acid. It's a salt of sodium and borate, which borate is boron with a bunch of oxygens attached to it. I'm stumbling with the name because the way it actually forms is like a substance is kind of weird. It's not just like a one-to-one thing like sodium and chloride. It's like two sodiums or three sodiums and then like a few different borons and a bunch of oxygen atoms. But the simple version of it is like boron with three oxygens attached to it and then like two sodiums or something like that, or three sodiums or something like that. And it's usually just used as like a laundry booster. Like, I think it has applications for like pottery stuff. There's definitely a bunch of chemistry you can do with like boron and borate compounds. I literally used one last week to do something related to my research, a Suzuki coupling, although it wasn't boric acid. It was like boric acid with something else attached to it. Not important. But
side note, but back to the cleaning borax, solution that people are
trying. I'm smart. Just like,
I ramble. My bad. I'm so sorry. You can totally cut that. but like, you know, so borax is the salt of boric acid, is a sodium salt of boric acid. It's like boron, three oxygen atoms and a couple of various numbers of sodium atoms. And people will say things like that. We're like, oh, it's just boron, sodium, and oxygen. It's like, oh, it's totally fine. It's not. Like, it depends on the molecule itself and, like, how it's made, thus its chemistry. Not how it's made, but the structure of it, and thus its chemistry. So, yeah, you know, I did some digging, and everything basically said, like, borax? No, absolutely not. This is, like, a poison. Like, why would you eat this? Boron, yeah, necessary micronutrient. Get it in your diet. So at first, like when I first started making the video, I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm going to like approach this with some like grace and, you know, like clearly there's maybe some necessity of boron in the diet and maybe I should try to. Right. And then I started to think about it a little bit more and I saw the intro that my wife had put together because she made that stitch. That was all her.
If you haven't seen it, people listening to this, go watch it. It's just like a ton of people, like just it's so many clips. It's like 37 clips of people drinking borax.
And then I saw like, because at first also like, I thought that I didn't realize at first that it was like the 20 Mule brand, like laundry booster borax. Like there was a period where I was like, maybe I'll show people how to recrystallize it so that they can like, you know, use it safely or something. And I was like, no,
we're using pharmaceutical grade.
This is bad for you. Like, what are you doing?
You don't need this.
No, yeah, you know, so that's, I mean, that's literally why the video opens with, like, don't eat shit out the laundry box, people. Like, don't do that. Like, just don't fucking do that. Even if it's good for you, like, why would you eat it from there? Like, what? No, what's wrong with you? So, you know, I had a bit of a visceral reaction to this, especially after doing actual research to, like, be sure that I wasn't, like, making something up. At some point, somebody told me that there is some random person who, like, wrote manuscripts that are of dubious publication quality that purport to have that borax, that their personal use of borax helped alleviate their, what was it, arthritis?
Oh.
But, like...
Sounds real conclusive.
I was going to say, like, if I can't find, if that's the only thing I can find and anything else says nah, I'm going to go with anything else. I don't know what you, look, I made it to the ripe old age of 34 without eating borax once. So I think I think I'm on the right side of history here.
So you know, basically but, we need boron. So these people are saying, okay, drink this, which is boron and just some other things. And that's good for you. That was basically their...
And like, it's a like trace not, amount of boron that we need. It's not even that much.
And it's like, I don't know that boron's the thing that, like, I mean, again, this is not something that's like my field of expertise, right. But I'm aware that there is a degree to which your body excretes certain minerals and substances at different rates. Like iron, for example, you might have some of the iron that's in your body might have been in your body for years at this point, right? Like some of the individual iron atoms, but like vitamin C, if you drank vitamin C this morning, it's gone already, probably, right? Yeah. You know, so boron might be one of those things that hangs out a lot anyway, so you don't really need to, like, worry about consuming it, you know? But, like, it is also just, like, the thing of, like, that's not how that works.
I just don't know, how did they get to the point where they're like, yes, boron will cure these things that I have? Like, it doesn't compute.
I feel like it goes back to like the thing I was saying earlier, where it's like, you know, if you don't have enough information, if you don't have enough correct information to combat misinformation that agrees with what you think should be correct, then it just becomes that much easier for you to fall into that hole. And then you run into that issue of people not wanting to be wrong. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I don't feel bad sometimes when like somebody's like, you weren't right about that. That was an incorrect answer. Yeah, I'm like, you're right, I wasn't. You know, I get over it. It's fine. You know, but, you know, and for some people, they get very attached to
what they believe. It carries different weight. If you get, like, an equation wrong, okay, I'll admit I'm wrong. But if you get, I was drinking cleaning product wrong, that's just, like, a different beast.
Yeah, you're like, nah, I don't want to be that wrong. Like, nah, because, like, then I look like an idiot. You know, it's like, then people make fun of me on the internet, you know, like, and it's like, I genuinely do feel bad for a lot of the people in those spaces. Not necessarily the people who are, like, knowingly putting out false information or knowingly putting out information that is somewhat dubious. You know, I think when I was looking into this, I found some people who are like, I don't know. I heard this, but I also know this. So I don't know. And I'm like, this isn't that much better, but this isn't as bad as people just straight up being like, yo, just put a sprinkle of 20 Mule in your water bottle in the morning and you'll never get cancer. Like, I'm like,
Jesus.
Nah. But the thing is, it's like, if you don't understand enough about how things work in general, then it becomes way easier for you to think that these, like, quasi magical solutions are possible, you know? And I wonder to what degree also, like, because we live in such a scientifically and technologically advanced point, that there are people who are like, yo, but we can probably just do this now, right? Like, because we just have the technology, right? And I question if at all that is a degree to which people, it just makes it easier for people to believe something like that, where it's like, oh, well, you know, I mean, when you consider that we exist in the age of some of the medications that we have nowadays, like, you know, that even just 10 years ago would have been revolutionary. Well, I guess, you know, that by definition, it doesn't matter when they happen, they're revolutionary. But I think you get what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. The whole borax situation is just.
It was.
But, and okay,
we got, we got heat for it, right? Like, you know, we put out this video, and a lot of it was about, like, as you mentioned, the shocking intro. My wife's intro, I think a lot of people were like,
what?
Oh? You know, and I put out my little video, you know, and I tried to be reasonable at the end where I was like, you know, look, I understand that healthcare is a thing and, you know, all of that, but like, yo, don't, you know, try to find bad, like legit information. You know what I mean? And I'll even say, I don't remember who this person was or what vector through which they contacted me, but there was one person who contacted me about that video and they were like, yo, real talk, I've used Borax to deal with like an eye infection because I genuinely do not have access to other appropriate medication. I am very much aware of the fact that that's like a last resort kind of thing.
Wow.
And thank you for like taking a moment to acknowledge that like healthcare is not like equitable in this country. And sometimes people have to resort to things like that.
People are desperate.
Which is heartbreaking. Like, what?
That is. Absolutely.
When you're so down and out that you go to your cleaning section and you just say, well, hopefully this helps with the thing I have. Hopefully I don't go blind.
You know, I'm just like, yo.
Greatest country in the world, America.
Tell me about it, right? Most of the people who reached out were not like this person. Most of the people who reached out were all kinds of, you know, what you talk about, you're getting paid by the pharmaceutical company, which, yo, if there is a pharmaceutical company out there that wants to pay me to tell people to not do something that I'm already going to tell them not to do.
Right?
Holla at me. ChemicalThuggery@gmail.com. For real.
I would happily be paid to tell people not to consume laundry detergent.
For real. Man. I'm just like, yo, this is like, you know, I'm like, why would you like, you know, I'm just like, I'm not. Anyway, so that happened.
TikTok took it down because of that, like, intro. They were like, they thought you were like promoting it, and it took you a while saying, hey, no, we're trying to educate people, right?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure part of it was also just like a lot of people, some of those people sending those messages being like, nah, report this for misinformation, you know, it's fine, I get it. But I do, you know, honestly, it getting reposted was a monumentally eye-opening moment for me, I guess, because that was probably the moment where I was like, oh, I'm like actually a content creator now with like a following and a community
with some influence. Because I can get my video back.
I hope that doesn't come across as like some weird, you know, megalomaniacal sort of thing. Cause it very much was like a moment of like,
don't worry, now is when I turn heel.
Well, all right. I mean, of course, obviously like there is a degree to which I did in a lot of ways kind of just end up stumbling into this, but I am like wildly, wildly humbled by this, like especially that moment where I was like, yo, I really asked them to help me get this video back and they helped me get this video back. Like that didn't happen because I complained about it. That happened because I think roughly 100,000 people engaged with and watched that video that I posted complaining about it. And they were like, Kim Thug is great. We love Kim Thug. Please put his stuff back. And I was like, yo, I kind of can't stop doing this, I guess. Or at least I got to like try to like, I got to try to like keep this up to some degree. Cause there's 200,000 people out here willing to go to bat for me.
Yeah.
Holy shit. This is amazing. So, you know,
now you're on the best podcast ever.
Right? No, I love it.
Biggest achievement. Forget getting the video back. Being on in moderation is the. I think that's when
Every single follower is an achievement. Real talk. Follower is an achievement. I'm not trying to say that just to be nice. I mean that from the core of my being. Like, you wouldn't have invited me here if it weren't for all those people. So, real talk. Like,
absolutely. I mean,
we wouldn't be here if it weren't for all those people.
Absolutely. I don't know why people listen to me yell about shit, but they do. So I just go with it. So I thank you. But then is when I think the sequel kind of happened for you was colloidal silver. And just found that. So, and that's another one that I was just like, what?
That's an old one too.
I thought it was a joke. I was 100% certain it was a joke. And it took a long time for me to go, oh, people are actually doing this. So you got to give the people a little bit on what colloidal silver is like that. It's so something. You have to talk about something.
It's so something.
Oh, yeah.
It's so something.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that was another one of the ones that honestly, that one I was less surprised by than the Borax one, just because it is not untrue that silver has been used in medicine and continues to find use in medicine. Just not that kind. Like, just not that one.
That's a small detail. That's a small detail.
Don't worry about that. You know, just like, yo, you might as well just like buy like a hunk of sterling, of like actual like sterling silver, and just chew on that shit. Like you're doing about as much for yourself. Maybe even more. Okay. Actually,
somebody's going to listen to this and they're going to stop right there and just run out and buy some silver.
No, I shouldn't have said it. No, don't do that.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I've heard a lot worse than just chewing on a bar of silver. That's all I'm going to say.
Right? At least sterilize it first. But yeah, no. So the way colloidal silver works is like it's – so if you imagine like you have like a hunk of metal, right? Like okay. Imagine this hunk of metal like a bar of silver, right? Now make that bar a ball of silver, right? That ball of silver is full of silver atoms, right? And if it's mm-hmm. a ball that's roughly the size of your hand, there's going to be, you know, millions upon billions of them in there. So let's shrink right. that ball down to like half the width of a human hair. At this point, you start talking about a much smaller amount of atoms. And at this point, you start talking about like colloidally suspended particles of silver metal, which okay. are largely, which, and I'm not going to sit here and try to like say how many atoms are per, because I don't remember off the top of my head, but like you can get various size dispersions and distributions, but it ultimately ends up being like little tiny, like not quite microscopic, because usually there's a haze in the water, so you can kind of see the turbidity of the liquid. And that is actual like silver metal in tiny, tiny particulate form just floating around. And bulk silver metal is like antimicrobial to some degree. I forget exactly how it works, but like, yeah, I think like if you actually just like if you try to culture bacteria on like a silvered surface, it doesn't work. At least some, not all, I don't think, but colloidal silver doesn't really work like that. It doesn't like it. It just kind of accumulates in your body and doesn't really do anything. And if it does do anything, it's not like specific. So a lot of people like to think that like for reasons that I cannot begin to fathom, but I can only guess at that, like, you know, the way that, like, you know, when you don't have information, your mind makes you make up things to explain it, you know, like that's just
magic.
That's how we got the early religions.
Like 500 years ago, I could forgive all of this. Like, absolutely. Like the four humors that we had, like the miasma theory of disease were like just bad smells cause disease. I'm like, so miasmas are the idea that bad smells cause disease. Listen, 500 years ago, I'm with it. I totally understand why people say it. This thing smells bad. It goes around people. People get sick. Like, and so bad smells cause disease. Like, those are dots I can connect. Man. But we are in a time where those dots should not no longer be able to connect. And people are still connecting these dots. And I'm interested and baffled by it.
There's a lot of it that does have to do with the fact that there are people who actively benefit from other people buying into this. So it's not right. just that, it's not just that. It's like they could say it, and like the people who sell colloidal silver aren't talking about it the way I talk about it. Right?
Well,
like,
sure they don't. They wouldn't sell very well.
You know, that's really what it comes down to, where it's like, you know, and then, you know, people need medical care. Yeah. So, you know, they turn to these crazy alternative things that have like the vaguest sliver of vague kind of thought of legitimacy, but it's not silver as a medicine has never been used internally, I don't think, like extensively like that. Maybe right before, like early before we had figured out penicillin, I think some people did kind of try to use colloidal silver
because like you said, it has antimicrobial properties.
I'm pretty sure from what I remember when I was actually looking up stuff for that video, it was never really well established that it actually had a significant effect beyond like, you know, basically just like kind of placebo, you know, like it would maybe work, it maybe wouldn't. And the fortunate thing is that it's tolerated reasonably well by the body, right? Like of the heavy metals, because it is a heavy metal. Don't let anybody tell you different. It's a heavy metal.
It's one of the least bad heavy metals you can consume. How much does this magical thing cost?
Which, to be fair, I think that has a lot to do with how it ends up, maintaining this space in the alternative medicine community. if you will, because this is not the first, like, you know, colloidal silvers, people have been hawking that stuff for like when I even when I was recording the video, I kind of sounds like people still trying to sell this stuff. Cause I remember there was like kind of a big wave of it again, like maybe like 15 years ago or so. And mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like it's been around and people have continued to try to like push this quote unquote alternative medicine. You know, it's like, you know, it's like apricot seeds is another one of those things. Yeah. It's like when people, although that one's a little different because it's, you know, cancer, I guess, but like it kind of all comes from the same place. There's like this vague notion that it kind of sounds like it could work. And then you got a bunch of people because, you know, I'm pretty sure neither of you have ever taken colloidal silver.
Currently, no.
You know, so like, with people with enough awareness and critical thinking capacity to at least like, I might buy it. I might like believe that you're saying something that's accurate, but I'm not going to like put credence into it until I double verify it. You know what I mean? Like, but if people feel like you are in a position of authority to tell them something, you know, sometimes they just take it and run with it, you know, especially if it sounds like everything that they want and more. You know,
and you're kind of saying it has this truth to it. And I think a lot of it comes down to the name, like colloidal silver has like a really good ring to it. So I've written down some names. And so for the thing, the magic thing that we're coming up with that cures things, I want you guys to tell me what you think. OK, because obviously, as everybody knows, the most important thing in these things is the name, right? Like that's what people are going to hear.
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
It's the science behind it. Fuck that. OK, so what do you think of Firefly Gold? Because I think about Firefly Dust? And yes, they all begin with Firefly. Listen, I think Firefly, Fireflies are already sort of otherworldly and weird.
Firefly
so I don't
dust
think
could
it's,
work. Firefly Dust
does
could
kind of
work.
Sound like it's a me, drug or
going,
something.
Keep going.
I think,
keep going.
I,
keep going.
Because okay, because we, I think Firefly needs to be in there because like it's just it's already seems sort of magical. Like if you're just looking at Fireflies, they look kind of magical. We need something that people can jump to the magic without realizing they're jumping into magic. That's what we need.
You got more names on the list? I'm deeply curious about this. Actually, I'm also a creative writer, so like,
to be honest, I don't have anything written on here at all. This is a receipt. Oh. I'm spinning off the top of my head.
How about Glowfly Dust? Glowfly Dust.
I like that more. Actually, I was all in on Firefly. Now I'm in on Glowfly.
Glowfly Dust.
The dust sounds good. Like dust is, like it's small. It can like, you know, I don't know. There's something about that. I like
a line of it.
Like, cause that kind of tells you how you're going to take it. Right. Like it's just a dust, like whatever. You can put it in water. You could sniff
it. Yeah. Dissolve it in some water, drop it in your eye. You know what I mean? You'll be seeing shit.
Whatever holes you want to drop it in, you can just drop it right in there. Is totally fine.
Oh man. And the best part is you could like, you know, you could say, you know, you could just like mix a little bit of like radon, like radon paint and some like sawdust and it will definitely glow.
Holy shit. It's if terrible. It actually like glowed so just bad. A little bit, even if it was like so under bad. Ultraviolet light or something, like you could show people like, I'm taking this. They're like, oh, what's that? And you're like, oh, hold on. Let me turn the lights off real quick. Watch this. Right. And then it lights up and they're like, holy shit, that is magic. That is actual magic. Like you said, we don't know anything anymore. So like all information is gone. I think we could really fool quite a few people now. Okay, Chem Thug, are you okay coming up with like with we need you to come up with the sciencey stuff behind it. Like it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to make any sense.
Hold up, because like it's funny that you had this kind of planned out, because it was a while ago where I made a video on hexagonal water and I got real deep into looking into like what is the somebody made a comment on YouTube and they were like, yeah, real easy for you to take down some scam like, you know, water purifier thing, but maybe you should address Dr. Gerald Pollack's like several reams of published research on EZ water and hexagonal water in the exclusion zone. And I was like, what? There's like a what? So I looked into it because you know that's what you do, right? Yeah. You know, you look into it, and sure enough, there's this dude Gerald Pollack who's like out here talking about some. Oh well, you know, let me be careful here because he's like actually got his PhD and he's like actually like a very, you know, published. And I think he's done plenty of things that are actually valid. But this, I understand he gets a lot of flack for this like easy water idea. He did some experiments and he showed that like if you have water and it like that water self-arranges basically, which we kind of know, right? And but he's like extending this logic to like all kinds of wild things. And this idea of hexagonal water is one of them, where like water, when treated appropriately, I forget exactly what you have to do to it, but like the water molecules, the H2O molecules, will arrange themselves into hexagons and stay in that shape. And this has like wild properties. And it like leads to like water having memory and all kinds of wild things. And so I was like, you know, if people buy that, you know what they'll buy? Tesseractal water. I don't drink hexagonal water. I drink tesseractal water. And the way tesseractal water works is that, you know, hydration is difficult, right? Like a lot of people struggle to drink water.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true. Like water doesn't necessarily always taste that great, right? So how great would it be if you could like drink water for now and also the times when you hadn't drank water in the last like, you know, day or so? That's where tesseractal water comes in. It's hydration in the fourth dimension. You know what I mean? So basically, you know, you take hexagonal water, right? And then you add to it a small amount of magnetized powder, iron. And then you take this powder, you mix it up,
you start up, and then what
you have to do, you have to put it on a rectifying device. Now, fortunately, a rectifying device can actually just be a VCR. No bullshit. Because the magnets in the VCR will be able to force the magnetized powder to induce the tesseractal form of the water in the vessel. So all you have to do is take your hexagonal water that's been doped with the magnetic powder, put it on the rectifying device, and hit rewind. And for every hour that you rewind it, you will hydrate a previous day's worth of yourself.
People are going to be going in droves to the dump to find their local VCRs that have been thrown away. I can't believe I just threw out the answer to all my hydration problems. I must go get my VCR back.
That was just brilliant. That was brilliant.
And there's so many, like, I'm just thinking about logos now. Like, we need to get a logo on this, like, rewind water. Like,
I think that's better. Rewind water.
Rewind the water.
First,
like,
the first I think to that... market tesseractal water. Yeah,
there we go.
You put a little VCR, like, there's so many, like, little things you could do. It would be so good. People would buy that shit up. They really would.
Yep. You know, it's wild to me. I'm not going to pretend like I don't enjoy and find it hilarious to like come up with these things. But at the same time, man, I cannot help but be just a little bit sad knowing that there is somebody out there who would fall for that shit.
Oh, it's not somebody. Oh, somebody's yeah. People. Okay, rewind water, get your extra dimension. Or rewind water, the dimensions have changed. There's so many good. That's it would be great. It would be so good. I'm all in. We take glowfly dust and rewind water, and we become fucking millionaires. That's glowfly dust.
Oh man, yeah, I might sit on that. I might sit and think on that one. I might write you out something just because I like that name, glowfly dust. If nothing else, I'm gonna use that in like my D&D campaign world. That's gonna be a new thing.
Nice
in my D&D campaign world. I gotta figure out what, but I like the name. I like it too much.
Oh man.
But yeah, man,
I love it.
It's always kind of crazy to me. Like as much as I feel bad about it, like, and I do what I can to like try and like put some information out here, just be one additional voice of reason out here. You know, I'm just like, I'm aware that you can't save every starfish, as they say, but I was at the very end of the day, at the very least, though, I try to give people like most people, except for people who are like, who have like entire platforms dedicated to just like promoting erroneous ideologies, or they're straight up just out there to make money off of this. Them, I'm like, nah, y'all can go kick rocks with open toe shoes, like real talk. But to the people who are like genuinely just kind of like don't know things, and because for no real fault of their own, because America's public education system sucks and you got to pay for college and books are expensive and they're written in languages that people don't always understand because jargon is a real thing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be that mad at people for like not knowing things. I can be a little frustrated at people for not looking them up. So I always hope that at the end of any of my videos, colloidal silver, borax, any of them, that people are like, maybe I should just look things up. You know, if you're one of those, if the person watching it is one of those people that was considering it or had used it or at some point was like not really aware of it, it's like, I hope that my videos at the very least give people the sensation that like, yo, I could just look something up. like I could just kind of like look into this actually on my own and like at least just have a more informed opinion. Because at the very least, like when people get fall down these like information silos, the information rabbit holes, like it, if there's a foothold that was made earlier on, even if they were just like briefly introduced to the idea, they're like, yo, wait, hold up. There are some people who disagree with this and they have legitimate disagreements. I feel like that at the very least can help get people to stop being like that. You know what I mean? Because these people vote.
Like, oh, I think if you have stopped one person from taking colloidal silver in holes or drinking cleaning products, I think you have done a very good job. I mean, that I'll call that a victory. I'll call that a win any day of the week.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, no, real talk. Like every time I get a comment that's like, I wish you were my teacher or thank you so much for the information. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's why I do this. That is the main reason why I keep doing this, because absolutely. Trying to get this PhD is sucking a lot of the life out of me. I don't have a lot of time to do.
That's why you need Glowfly dust and rewind water. They'll help get I'm you just saying, through. Dog.
What?
This man, PhD. Bro. Well, I think you got to at least tell people where all your social media things, where to find you at the end, so people remember, so they can go look up how to not take borax.
right. So, fortunately, all of my socials have the same handle at Kim Thug, CHEMTHUG. That is Kim, truly humbled under God. I still can't do that with a straight face. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But yeah, at Kim Thug, I am on YouTube, trying to grow the platform there. Definitely appreciate any subscribers over there. I am still on TikTok and also on Instagram. I mean, if you really appreciate, if you watch my stuff and you appreciate what I do, I definitely appreciate a Ko-fi. You can try and DM me. I cannot promise that I will be able to answer any particular question somebody sends me. But, you know, I do make an effort and I do mind that for content. So, you know, like there was that video on chemical structures that somebody asked for. And I actually had a lot of fun with that one because I've wanted to explain chemical structures and nomenclature to people for a long time. Because I feel like it's very easy to actually understand. And then once you know it, it's like, yo, wait. Like, I know a thing now. You know what I mean? Like, I love knowledge that, like, is actionable. You know what I mean? Where, like, you teach somebody something and they can go and, like, do something with it. It's like, yeah, you might have to, like, intentionally go, like, crack a chemistry textbook to find some molecules to look at. But you can do it now, right? Like, you couldn't do that before, you know? It's a thing. But, yeah.
I know what channel I'm going to be binging while I edit this.
Okay. Well, I just went on to YouTube and subscribed to Kim Thug on YouTube. So you go do that. It takes you a second. It helps out. And you can maybe learn some stuff about chemistry, which he actually makes it fun. Because I'm going to tell you, I've taken chemistry multiple times and I usually do not have fun. I won't lie to you. I don't have fun.
So that was a pretty great episode for our 25th episode. Hey.
Right.
I'm glad y'all think so. I feel like it was pretty fun. I had fun. I thought it was pretty cool.
I love talking about like just fake cures and stuff. Like it's terrible and people get taken in by it, but I find it fascinating. So I enjoyed all the apricot seeds and shit.
On that note, it's time to announce the winners for our 25th episode giveaway. And to make the draw, we have a special guest, Brian Littlefield, co-owner of Jocko Fuel.
Brian!
Rob, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for sponsoring this giveaway.
Yeah, absolutely. We're happy to do that. We love your show, and we're happy to support your listeners.
That's super appreciated. Like, we are just so happy that you were able to do this, and we love the idea of being able to give back to our listeners, and it's great that you were able to step in and help us do that.
And you should do it because absolutely. We can.
Okay, so let's draw us a grand prize winner here.
Let's do it.
Exciting.
Who's winning the big prizes?
So our grand prize winner is Jason Kumar.
Congrats woo-hoo! To
all from
Jason.
Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
And so we've also got, that was grand prize. You know, I'll give the list out on Patreon itself. We also have a couple of smaller winners going on here.
Everyone's a winner, baby.
Skylar Bryan.
Ooh, as long as it's not Skyler from Breaking Bad. I don't like Skyler. I don't like that character.
And Dustin Spencer, congratulations.
Dustin!
So our additional winners are Lisa. Boom. Jessica Moore.
Bang.
Gabe Sassman.
Bong.
Eddie Gomez. And Back Megan Bang.
Weber. All Swag. That.
Congratulations to all of you. And thank you so much for listening to the podcast, you guys.
For real.
And of course, a huge shout out to Jocko Fuel. Thank you so much for sponsoring this.
Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely. We're happy to do so. And we really hope everyone loves the product.
I hope so, too.
And try the banana
some of them,
shake.
Some of them look pretty good, but I swear, if any of you get the banana smoothie, you're dead to me.
What? It tastes so much like bananas.
It's a popular one. It's a popular one. Although the new sweet cream coffee is, it's sold out. We're taking bets on when it's going to sell out again. So
that one's going to sell out after this.
That one sounds good.
Yeah, it's like Jocko calls it like a tiramisu in a bottle, and it has 95 milligrams of caffeine in every one. So
hard to go wrong.
It's like protein and a little bit of energy. So
I'm still on banana in a bottle.
That one sounds really good. I might have to get that for myself when it ever gets back. I'm just going to like sit there refreshing the page.
Yeah. No, just go back in stock. It's back in stock right now. So.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go order some. Thank you again for all of this.
Enjoy a banana
I'm
going to
go
right
order
now.
Some before that goes out of stock.
Or again. Whatever.
All right.
You.
And another shout out to Scientific Snitch for throwing in 5 tubs of pre-workout.
Yeah, pre-workout.
Fancy schmancy white chocolate strawberry, white chocolate raspberry. I can't remember. White chocolate something. Apparently tastes like cereal.
Well, yeah, but wait until Chem Thug's pre-workout. It's bore on free. It's got glow fly in it, though. Wait till you hit the gym and everyone starts staring at you. Make sure you use your rewind water when you mix it up.
I thought about that one earlier. Yeah, you know, like I would have to look up what a pre-workout is. Like I won't pretend like I benefit from a certain amount of genetic lottery. You know what I mean? Like I used to work a lot when I was younger, and I did a lot of manual physical labor. Like in college, I was a mover. But now I'm a gym. I don't really work out.
You could sell a pre-workout so well. You could sell a pre-workout. Oh, yeah. I promise you. Like, it's all, use your chemistry background and be like, this is scientifically formulated to be the ultimate.
And you're really good at making up the names and stuff. So
you have great names. You could use a bunch of fancy words. It doesn't matter if they make sense. People would buy into it.
No one's going to look them up. There's a degree to which, you know, the fancier the words you use, the more people are like, oh, no, you clearly know what you're talking about. Especially 100%. If you can, like, string a bunch of them together, like, without mispronouncing any of them. Like, and they're like, oh, sure. Oh.
And wait, say it confidently. Oh, yeah. Just, you're good. You got it. It's the Gary Brecka effect.
Oh, bonus points if you turn it into a song and dance.
Get a little jingle going.
That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other thing. But... yeah, no, that was actually kind of fun. I ain't gonna front.
He's on his way to the Arnold's.
Yeah, that's gonna be going on this weekend. I'm probably not gonna go because I work, but it's right next door to me, so there's that.
What is that? I don't know.
The Arnold Classic. So you know Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold's bodybuilding stuff.
Oh.
Like, you know Arnold. He's like,
yeah, I know Arnold. I thought after he was the governor, he just like chilled.
He has a whole event every year.
Yeah, he made his own event.
It's it's a whole bodybuilding thing, and they got other events.
This is how you know I don't work out.
Don't tell people this part. Don't come to the Arnold Classic with your pre-workout scientifically formulated to get you the best pump imaginable.
Right.
Insert fancy words here.
Chem Thug brand. Oh my god. Yeah, I have it. It makes me sad, but at the same time, I never feel bad laughing at like the absurd things that people end up believing sometimes about like what does and doesn't work for health. Like, I don't know if you heard about this radon mines thing, but apparently there are people who are like going into abandoned mines that are full of radon gas for the radiation.
No, you're fucking with me. You're fucking with me.
Apparently this is a thing, like, which, really? You know, people did that in like the 20s and like, I mean the 1920s and like the 1880s when we first kind of discovered this stuff.
You and mean the 2020s, because apparently they're still doing it.
That's the wild thing. It's like, yo, we figured this out already. Why are we going back? We already had the answer. The answer was no.
I think that's a good point, though. Like, we always do go back to things when enough time has passed that we forget and that enough, they didn't work.
And enough people have lost that knowledge, that knowledge is no longer like a common knowledge thing, you know? So it's like, yeah, you know, like, and it really doesn't help that there is a non-negligible extent to which large scale pharmaceutical production does not always entirely gear itself specifically to treatment and amelioration. Right. Like, they are still companies. They are still trying to make money. So sometimes
there's a profit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, all right, well, I get it. They're going to sometimes do some shit that, like, you know, maybe make you feel some type of way. But that doesn't necessarily mean that like insulin isn't bad for you. Like, you know,
aspirin is not bad. It's the worst. If you go on social media, it is the worst thing.
I'm just like, you know, but you know, it's like, yeah, that, but yeah, there's a lot of the fun in this chat. It's just like, kind of just like.
That's the thing. But with pharmaceutical companies, like, people are understandably frustrated. And when you get frustrated, you turn elsewhere. And when you have enough time has gone by where you forget these things don't work, you're going to try. We're going to do bloodletting soon. It's going to come back. I guarantee you we're going to start doing it again. I don't know when.
People are already doing it. I guarantee you people are already doing it. I guarantee you.
You got to get rid of the people.
I'd be frustrated too if I didn't live in a socialized medicine country.
Right.
It's like, it's
frustrating.
That's the other thing. It's like, yo, like, how is it just like, it's like, can we talk about why people got to do this in the first place? You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for, you know, laughs and jokes. Ha ha. Yeah. You know, yuck it up and all of that. But like, you got to have this conversation. You can't have this conversation in good faith, meaningfully, without at least acknowledging that, like, yo, it's not 100% people's fault that they end up in these situations. But we already said that. Right. I just wanted to say it again. Because, like, that's the part that makes me upset. I don't really get mad at people for, like, turning to alternative medicines, especially things like, you know, when people are in desperate situations. I'm like, I get mad at you if you have terminal cancer. To your children.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said in the apricot season, it was like, look, I don't have cancer. I don't think I've lost anybody in my life from cancer. So I can't really super speak to it. But as I said in the end, if you don't have cancer, stay the fuck away from these shits. Like, don't eat them. Like, why? Yeah. If you at that precipice, if you on that knife's edge, I don't know anything about that. You got to do what you got to do. Please consult somebody else who's more knowledgeable. But like, it's everybody else out here that I'm like, yo, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, why? But, you know, I can't be mad at them without also being mad at the conditions that create it.
Yeah. But when there's, when it's someone who has like terminal cancer or some kind of terminal diagnosis, how can you get frustrated with them for looking for answers?
Like, yeah.
You know, the doctors say, hey, we can't help you. There's nothing we can do.
You know, so you're going to turn to. Look, yeah, at that point, look, you're going to do what you're going to do. You know, but what I hate is Kent Hubbin and people like Kent Hubbin. Like, people like that clown. Like, he's one of those people. Oh,
I don't think I know.
You don't know the Reverend Dr. Hubbin. Oh, or Hovind, I forget how you say his name. But you want to talk about a clown? Nah, I'll talk shit about him all day. Fuck that dude. I cannot stand him. You want to talk about a misinformation peddler? And what makes me the saddest about it is that he wraps it all up in some in like religious spirituality, which I'm like,
oh god.
I'm just like, can you not please, like, Just like, ah.
The entire like living water thing that's completely targeted at religious people because it's living water was a religious thing in the Bible.
And it's wild because it's like, and that's, and you know, that's where it's like at the end of the day, it's like a lot of this stuff perpetuates itself because there are people who can survive and make a living for themselves off of its perpetuation. You know what I mean? So like there are, you know, there are means and motives for the perpetuation of this information. It's not like it just gets out there on its own. And like it's artificially selected for by people who benefit from its propagation versus accurate information, which is hard to artificially select for, because even a lot of times, unfortunately, the accurate information is you can't do anything, or like you need to do this other specific thing, or it's very complicated and it's involved. It's not just a simple thing, you know, and it's harder to package and sell accurate information than it is to package and sell a delusion, you know?
Yeah.
So like, oh yeah. Yo, Liam, are you stuck reading about him now?
So he's a creationist. So he's a pastor creationist. But like the first thing that you look up is just like the Hovind theory is entirely rejected in the scientific community. It's like in big bold, like the first result.
Oh man, he's not even the worst. Like he at some point or another, he's mentioned apricot seeds. He was just the first person to come to mind. And he is very much one of those people that like he spreads. Well, I think he's also like advocated for colloidal silver being useful. And like
usually they hop all on board. Why not? You know, if you're going to pick one, you're not going to be like, oh no, that other one doesn't work. It's just this weird one. No, all of them work. Yeah, it's just buy my shit.
Excuse me. Oh man, like yeah, it is kind of like a fascinating and mind-boggling sort of thing to just like see this happen. You know what I mean? Like see people get taken in by misinformation and watch them like, and then watch people like reject the accurate information. To go back to the vaccine example, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's probably like one of the like most pernicious things, you know.
One of my videos on Dr. Sebi kind of found the Sebi community. Ooh. And I apparently am like the most racist person ever because Dr. Sebi is saving lives. He died now, but like he cured AIDS and stuff. And he's like, and I get so many comments every day. Like, it's not meant for you, Whitey. It's only black people aren't supposed to eat meat and they're supposed to avoid pineapple. And I'm like, what are you talking? You're saying I'm the racist first. What is happening? What is going on in the world? I'm just
same thing happened to me when I did a Sebi video.
Black all people can eat racist. Pineapple. I never thought I would get in trouble for saying black people can eat pineapple, but here we are in 2024. Here we are. I'm here now and I've gotten in trouble for saying black people can eat pineapple.
Oh, and I'm man, racist because of it.
I think for me
so
it was
absurd.
Black people are allowed to eat white rice.
White rice, that's.
Oh no! You can't do that. You're gonna dilute the blackness. You're gonna remove the Yo, I might get in some trouble for this one. I really don't appreciate when any marginalized community like leans on their marginalization as a reason why they should be left to like do something that is materially harmful.
Yeah.
And I mean, either to themselves or others. Like, I don't agree with that idea that like, you know, if what you like, I agree with the notion that, you know, if you do not exist as a member of this community, then you should approach it with a certain amount of grace and space and understanding and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. This is all real and very true. However, I don't think that that means that you can't go and be like, yo, wait, this dude is wrong. It's totally safe for y'all to eat pineapple, especially if you consider that the fundamental premise that's being purported here is that there does exist a biological difference between black people and non-black people. And that is, you know, racist. Like, what the fuck?
I might be wrong about that.
I'm not a sociologist,
are humans,
but I'm pretty
and they're
sure.
saying no. White people and black people are different, and therefore black people have to avoid these foods. I was just like, What?
I'm like, it's because of the history of imperialism and colonialism, especially in the West and particularly in the US, it is actually true that Black people do have certain like genetic predispositions to certain types of medical maladies. And they should absolutely work with a PCP who is familiar with this fact if they want to have like some of the best health outcomes they can. That is not the same as saying that you can't eat pineapple because you're Black.
Then they make the jump to you have to change your entire diet.
That's the thing in my head where it's like, at a certain point, there are people who are just like, I can make money making content. So I need to figure out what content I can make that's going to be like quick and easy engaging for people. Cause that's also another part of it, right? Like you wouldn't have people out here scamming people if people, you know, had their basic needs met. You know what I mean? Like, if people didn't have like, you know, like in a world where we legitimately have the technology and the capacity to produce enough food, enough nutritious whole food for everybody to have a little bit more than they actually need. Maybe not the best selection of anything all the time, but a good choice of a wide variety of nutritious food. We have that capacity. We don't have the infrastructure for it. And we clearly don't have the collective will to implement the infrastructure for it. But we could try, we could go for it, you know what I mean? Like,
isn't it frustrating though that people fight against GMOs too? Like we start doing this and they're like, no, GMOs, because, and you're like, but
yo, corn is a GMO. Corn, the actual plant corn, that shit doesn't occur in nature like that. Niggas made that shit from grass like what, 20,000 years ago? That shit didn't just show up in a forest like that.
What is it, teosinte or whatever? Like the ancestor of corn. If you look at it, it's just got like just enough for like an ape or something to come through and pick off little pieces. And like
have you ever been to like, excuse me, I was gonna say a Chinese food spot. If you've ever been to a Chinese takeout restaurant, like one of those kind of like, you know, city Chinese takeout restaurants, you get those those stir fry dishes. They got those like little baby corns in there. That's what like corn like started as.
I think it was worse than that. You had like little tiny pieces on that tiny corn that you could eat, and the rest was you couldn't eat it. And so we made it better. Watermelons. We
modified its genetics.
Have you seen like paintings of watermelons from like the 1700s? They don't look like watermelons even today, and that was a few hundred years ago. Food is way better.
It's like Brussels sprouts are another perfect example.
Cruciferous vegetables.
And here's the thing. It's like, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, like being a critically thinking, rational human being means being skeptical of things. It means taking a moment to question stuff. But if you're going to question things, you should actually then question them. Go ask the question and find the information you need. Don't just make a judgment call based on how you feel about it. Because, yo, I feel bad about a whole bunch of things, but I'm still like, it's still like, that's the way it is. That's actually the reality of things. You know what I mean? I feel bad about the fact that I'm a material being sometimes and I need to sleep and I need to eat because sometimes I just want to keep doing what I'm doing, but I need to sleep and I need to eat. So I go and do it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I shudder to think if we're ever going to get to a point where people are going to start questioning whether or not you can put out fire with water. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain fundamental things that I'm just like.
That's why they say to fight fire with fire.
And it's like, do that, but like, not the way people think, I guess. I don't know. But like, you know, it's like, but yeah, to get back to the GMO thing, it's like, I understand people being like, whoa, this sounds kind of different and this sounds kind of wonky. And it's like, no, we just figured out how to vastly accelerate the process of doing something we've been doing for thousands of years, like straight up and down. The only difference is that we figured out how to do this by shooting a laser or something at it. I forget exactly how they do it, but it's like some kind of like impact specific thing, like, or at least it used to be. One of the ways where they would like switch out the gene is like straight up just like firing pieces of genome at the DNA until something stuck. I think, or something like that. I'm probably wrong about that. Please fact check that. But like, it's still faster than like, all right, well, this plant got a little bigger than the other one, so we're gonna kill that one and we're gonna go with this one. And
my
then next
great,
year we'll
great,
see.
Great grandson will enjoy the profits of me deciding to pick this plant.
You know, and it's like, and like, I feel like there is very much a degree to which people have like a sense, like people have like an, I don't want to go too much into like the wishy-washy mysticism of it, but like I feel like there's absolutely a degree to which people recognize that the profit motive that drives most of our societal organization is fundamentally fucking with our access to quality quality goods and services. You know, like there comes a point where you can do something to make money only up until a point, because inevitably you reach a point where doing it the way that it like really would need to be done for the sake of it being done becomes not profitable. So you kind of have to make a choice. Are you going to make money doing this? Or are you just trying to do this and do it well? And I feel like why wouldn't you just choose to make money if the profit motive is what, you know, kind of drives our current social organization? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
In Canada, we currently have a bill for a basic universal income going through Parliament, and I'm really hoping it goes through.
I mean, yo, it's a step in the right direction. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's absolutely a step in the right direction because, yeah, I mean, like, consider, like, how, like, the gains we've had in productivity technology over the last 20 years roughly lets one person do the job of three people 20 years ago. And nowadays you have people doing the job of two people with all this productivity technology. It's like, why? Why? For what? Why? Like, actually, why? Because profit became the point at some point. At some point, that's why people start doing stuff. And that's that in, I think, in a lot of instances. I'm not going to go and say all, right? Because that's a little wild. There are definitely companies and organizations out there that are able to sustain themselves while still turning a quality product and not resorting to dubious practices.
But those are never going to be the companies that really make
that's
it.
That's my point. Right. That's my point. Eventually, those companies get bought.
Yeah. Very small at the best case scenario.
That's exactly, that's the best case scenario you can hope for, because I can't tell you how many times I've been out here looking for a brand that I like loved. And then all of a sudden I'm like, where'd it go? What happened? Gone. Yeah. Out of business. You know what I mean?
Because it is the drive of the company to make, that is the sole drive is to make money. And if it's not, then it's not going to make it in the industry we're currently in. It's not going to happen.
No, it's 100% true. That's why, like, you know, as I was saying earlier, like, I understand. I really hope I'm using this word correctly. I'm going to feel some type of way if I'm not. I feel like I should just go Google it, but I'm pretty sure. In this, like, very, very, like, idealistic, quixotic view of the world, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of what we do now, to me, just doesn't make sense. But I accept and understand how we got to where we are. And I pray to whatever higher powers there may be that there is a pathway out of this shit. Because we're not doing well right now.
No, we're not.
You know? But I feel like this idea of profit, the profit motive, I feel like a lot more people are like aware of this idea that like, yo, people are just kind of out here trying to make money. And I feel like a lot more people are kind of aware of that and keyed into that. And for that reason in particular, you got a lot more people out here being like, nah, you can't trust these companies. You can't trust these businesses. And a lot more people buying into that because they're like, yeah, they just put this in your food to make extra money and they don't have to give you this and that. You know, so I'm like,
yeah, no. Quixotic, exceedingly idealistic, unrealistic, and impractical.
Word. Okay.
Yeah. It took me a second to spell it. I didn't know how to spell it.
It's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's more or less like, you know, I'll be quick to admit it. Like, I know that what I'm talking about is a very much like a kind of perfect world scenario, but I don't think that we couldn't get there. I just think that we don't, you know, those who have the ability to steer society in that direction have a material benefit in it. Yeah, they have a material benefit for it to not be that. So, yeah.
Right.
And that's why I get like some of these people, like I get where you're coming from, like where they're talking about these companies and the shit they do. I'm like, oh yeah, no, like Nestle and shit, they're terrible. Like they're awful.
Yo, Nestle is the worst.
They're an awful company. I totally agree with you.
What?
But if you drink water from Nestle, it's not going to kill you. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
In a weird tangential, like kind of butterfly effect way, it might kill some like indigenous person in a community who doesn't have water anymore.
That's true. So that's why I say, like, if you choose not to drink it, that's totally cool. Like, I'm fine with you choosing to avoid those products from these companies.
Like, but But at the same time, it's like, well, you know, what the fuck else am I going to do if I need fucking water and I live somewhere where, you know, the groundwater is like, I think the state of Arizona just lets people like drill like unlimited, like as many personal wells as they want. And this practice has led to like foundational issues in the soil. So a lot of the state is actually becoming like not livable. Fact check that. Wow. Please fact check that. But I'm pretty certain that I've read about this somewhere from a like reputable source that like this is becoming an issue. If it's not Arizona, it's like New Mexico or Nevada, one of those states out there, one of them desert states, you know. But like, yo, like I, you know, what are you gonna do? Like at a certain point, it's like, what are you gonna do? You know, it's like, it's not like we do not exist in a world anymore where people can just like, you know, fuck off to the west and like homestead, you know what I mean? Like you're not just about to dip out to the woods, you know what I mean, and be a mountain man and live off the land. Like,
oh, the good old days.
Right, of course. Good old dysentery.
I miss cholera.
Good old cholera.
I think Liam would survive about 5 minutes.
That's because I take myself out. I'd be like, this is not worth living. I don't want to live in this world. I'm gone. I'm out. Man.
Oh my God. Yeah, no. Like, it's just like, I won't pretend like I haven't done, like I haven't participated in my fair share of romanticization of like, you know, the homesteader life. But I've gone camping a couple times, right? Like I enjoyed it knowing that it was going to end.
This is it, your life fun. Now. Hold on. Wait a second.
That's a little different. It's a little different.
And then there's me. I've spent like a third of my life camping.
Nah, yeah. Man, it's dope. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoy it. And I definitely hope to spend more time actually like camping and like hiking and actually like being outdoors again.
You ever come up to Alberta? This lab. I will show you the mountains and all the great camping spots and everything.
Dude, that might actually, that's pretty sick.
And here's where we keep all our transphobic people. They're all together.
We keep them in Calgary.
Yo, that's just a avoid whole other thing. I can't. I just can't with people with that shit, man. That shit just like, I got no skin in that game. I ain't got no skin in that game whatsoever. I think no one in my family that I'm aware of, no one in my like really close friend circle that I'm aware of is like a member of the trans community specifically. I do not understand people who have issues with trans people. I understand transphobia because I understand that bigotry is a thing generally. But like,
why do you understand that? What led you to understand that bigotry is a thing?
Because I'm black in America, dog. Come on.
Oh, wait, right. I totally forgot. So <I'm experienced laughs> the stuff you deal with every day. Right. Totally.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's right. People just going to do this. But I'm just like, yo, wait. Cause it's like, it's one of them things where I'm like, yo, this is entirely not your business. Like, this is like, it's one of those things. It's like, you have to be like, this is not a perfect analogy. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Cause I think it illustrates part of what I'm saying, where I'm like, how absurd this is. Right. I can't really hide that I'm black. Right. Like if I'm walking down the street, you don't really have to look at me really hard to be like, oh, that's a black dude. Right. But I feel like you have to like really be trying to like find trans people. You know what I mean? Like you really got to be out here like, oh, no, you over drop there. Let me see your papers. Yeah. Like I'm like, you know, I'm just like, and that's what I mean, where it's like, yo, this is like a ridiculous thing to be worried about.
But,
like,
I mean, think back to gay marriage. Remember when like the true, I mean, it still is like, gay marriage is a debate, but when they have problems with gay people, it was an attack on traditional marriage. You can't come from a place of aggressiveness. You have to be the defender, no matter what it is. So even if you are saying gay marriage is a sin or whatever, you have to come from a defensive place. So they're attacking traditional marriage. That's what they're doing. And I'm defending it. It's always that.
The religious people are always interesting. I added that everyone is welcome here. Signed to my videos in the background with all the trans stuff going on in Alberta. And at the first video I made with that, somebody commented, you should take the flag down and return to the light. I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, it states in the Bible somewhere that everyone is welcome in God's place or church, and, you know. And so I literally have a sign saying everyone is welcome. I'm pretty sure I'm following your Bible better than you are.
No, you just need to add the verse. Josiah 3:16, whoever the fuck it is. I don't know.
I'm going to write that under there. Josiah 3:16.
No, because then they're going to tell you you got the wrong version of the Bible. Don't have the King James version, or you don't have the Agamemnon version or something. There's like a bunch of different versions of it. You know what I mean? So like, you know, this like this, you know, there's a degree, like, you know, yo, Liam, like kind of to your point earlier, dog, like, you know, so there are some people there really is no winning with. There are some people who are so far down that rabbit hole, so far down that echo chamber. And I think to like, what is it? Plato's Allegory of the Cave. Is that the one where like, you know, the dude's like sitting in a cave and or people
just
are sitting
staring
in the cave,
at the shadows.
Yeah, and all you see is the shadows, and it's like, you know, and then all of a sudden they, you know, they get thrust out into the world, and it's like, yo, where the shadows at? Like, what you mean?
This, I don't like
what's,
this.
What's all this green shit? Like, you know,
I like
what I mean?
My cave.
Like, you know, exactly. You know, that's that shit is real.
That's so
you
real.
Know, so it's like, but you know, hey, look, I think that's literally a big chunk of why the three of us do the things that the three of us do on the internet.
Really.
Yeah,
because yo,
trying to do our tiny little part
out there,
our tiny, almost insignificant part, but we'll reach some people, as many people as we can.
And hey, we're making Bobby go crazy.
Full of drops. Every bucket of water is full of drops. Oh yeah, exactly. I saw that you was roasting this Bobby dude recently. I literally just like binged like all the videos that you posted on YouTube, like. But gentlemen, I think we scheduled this for like an hour and it's been nearly two.
Yeah. I gotta get back to the daughter. Hey, wasn't that a great time? Listen to the podcast. You were just, I'm assuming you knew or you were just listening to in moderation. So if you go ahead and hit the 5-star button, is that a thing? The like button?
That's a thing. No. Yep.
The like button 5 on YouTube. Stars. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Not the dislike button. That's a bad button. The
bad
like button.
Bad don't touch.
Hit also hit all the other buttons. The share,
the
you can go check out
all those things.
Subscribe. Go check out our Patreon. Yeah. We do have a Patreon. It's free to join if you want, or you could give us some money. That'd be really cool. Like $1 or $2. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have.
That's where you'll find all the news for this.
We're super appreciative. You can find all sorts of other stuff there. We do giveaways, I think, sometimes, you know.
Sometimes.
All that good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So peace.